Welcome, everyone. I'm Mike Sullivan, and you're listening to Born to Shine. So welcome, everyone, to Born to Shine. I'm Mike Sullivan, and today we have an extraordinarily special guest. His name is Dr. Herb Monroe, and he's the assistant superintendent at Caroline County Public School, and amazing, amazing guest. So thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Monroe. I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me. I mean, it's a plum pleasing pleasure to get a call and, you know, to be a part of your show and, you know, what you're trying to do to make the world a better place. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And we're so, so grateful that you're here. And it's the first question for you, Dr. Monroe, is, well, you know, and I should fill the audience in and give them some of your background here. So Dr. Monroe got his Doctor of Education at Virginia Tech in 2012, and he's, listen to this, this is an amazing career. So Dr. Monroe was the principal at Lakeside Elementary, then the principal at a high school, and then the director of school leadership and improvement, and now is the assistant superintendent at Carolina County Public Schools. So, wow. I don't even, that's a whole lot. You've been, you know a thing or two about kids and schools, I would say. A whole heck of a lot.
Well, Mike, actually, I know a little, always learning. And, you know, as educators, we always say we need to be lifelong learners. So, yes, I'm learning every day. And what's so invigorating about education is, believe it or not, you know, I learned just as much from my colleagues and from my students as hopefully they do from me. So it's definitely a win-win situation for sure. So
that's
you got it.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, so let's just dive in, if that's okay. I've got a couple questions for you. Our listeners would love to hear your thoughts on these. So the whole our whole Born to Shine program is to encourage our listeners to really, really love themselves and embrace their mental health and just realize how truly amazing they are. So there's tweens, teens, there's teachers, there's admin that are listening to this. And the first question is, how important is it to you and your school district that your students learn really solid mental health skills and SEL skills?
Well, that's essential. I mean, we even say in Caroline that all learning is social and emotional because, Michael, just to be honest with you, you know, students have to be psychologically well, even before they, you know, can be physically well. But the importance is, you know, all students need to be safe. And what I would encourage all parents, educators, mentors, anyone that works with children, is to ensure these five things, if you will. And kind of the credo that we operate under is when we say safety, we always say physical, psychological, social, and emotional safety. That has to come first because students have to feel psychologically safe before they can access any curriculum or really kind of open themselves up to learning. So that's number one. Number two, we need to make sure that all students are valued. And what we mean by valued is that, you know, students have what we say voice and choice, where you know, they can be engaged in their learning, if you will, but also be held accountable for their learning and know that what they have to say and do in reference to their learning matters. You know, after the valued piece, the other thing that we say is that students have to feel empowered. You know, they need to know that they have a sense of being a part of the decisions that are made for them. And they also need to be empowered in seeing themselves in the curriculum. You know, right now, I think a lot of folks are making reference to that as, you know, the equity, diversity, and inclusion that's becoming a part of our curriculums. Because, you know, students need to be more of a mirror when they're in their learning versus being kind of outside, you know, looking through a window. You know, they need to see themselves in what they're learning. I will tell you that number four is all students really want to learn. And they all have something called a sense of wonderment. And we need to make sure that we keep that sense of wonderment at the forefront by having engaging and creative lessons pre-K to 12, because kids need to know that they're learning. And number five, man, when we really talk about social and emotional wellness, is that students need to know that they can make mistakes while still maintaining their dignity. And I'm going to say that one again, because I think sometimes we may not even think about it that way. If we want kids to be risk takers, to be innovative, if we want kids to be engaged, which everyone says, they need to know that it's okay to fail forward. And we need to let them make mistakes without them losing their dignity. And that even goes with discipline. You know, one thing we say, Mike, is we say we have to connect and correct before we catch and punish. How powerful is that, man?
I love that. I love that. That's incredible. I mean, so the five, just to kind of recap for our listeners, the 5 points, and help me if I got this right. Number one, psychologically safe. Number two, to feel valued. Number three, to feel empowered. Number four, to encourage and develop their sense of wonderment. And number five, yes, for them to feel okay, that it's totally okay to make mistakes.
There you go, man.
Cool.
That's it.
Love it. I think that's incredible. That's incredible. Well, then the next question is, what are some of the programs that your district is bringing in to support your students with their mental health?
Well, one of the things that we do is, I don't know if I'm supposed to endorse any companies on your show, but I'm just sharing what we use.
Exactly, just in general.
I'm just joking. I'm just saying. But what we do, Mike, is we've actually created a website, and people can visit Caroline County Public Schools' social and emotional link. And we actually have a image. It's a circle. I call it the SEL pizza, if you will. And at the top of the pie, we actually have CASEL principles. You know, a lot of folks I know that are really into social and emotional learning have used CASEL's framework kind of as the basis for how they launch and how they maneuver through social and emotional, you know, strategies and pathways and best practices. But, you know, within CASEL, what we're looking at is, you know, he or they have five, you know, major pieces to that. That goes as a part of their foundation or a framework for social and emotional learning. Within those five frameworks, you know, what we do is we focus on what we call essential skills, which is communication, conflict resolution, problem solving and decision making, empathy and compassion, understanding, as well as gratitude. So all of our lessons try to embed, you know, those themes within them. And what we do is we start that even on our secondary schools or secondary levels with growth mindset practices and mindfulness practices, where we may have morning meetings, team clusters, advisory, where we actually kind of get to see where kids are, you know, before they start their day, or maybe do some different things at lunch or during the transitions between classes, just to make sure, as we say, everybody's spirit is right. You know, we're in Virginia, man. So, you know, we're in the Bible Belt a little bit. We do separate church and school, but our joke, but our theme is, you know, is your spirit right? Are you okay?
Right.
What that really means is, you know, are you really psychologically ready for learning? And are you in a good place to receive the curriculum?
Love it.
You know, those are some of the things we do, man.
That's beautiful. That's incredible. And now, are your schools K through 12?
Yes, we're actually pre-K through 12. And what we're excited about is even through the COVID-19 hybrid virtual kind of diet of learning, if you will, we did some intense trauma-informed training, you know, looking at students' ACE scores, if you will, you know, adverse childhood experiences. And we're excited that we didn't just do COVID. We actually use COVID as a way to advance and to really connect with families through ensuring all of our schools became trauma-informed. And now we're a trauma-informed school division. So, you know, a lot of times if kids are not coming to us, we'll take a school bus out into the community and we will visit families. And again, make sure that those five things I mentioned earlier are in place, especially if the child is not logging on or if they're not turning their camera on, you know, during lessons. We want to go out and see what's going on. And the magic of the yellow cheese, I call it, or the school bus is when those school buses pull into the neighborhoods, you know, students open the curtains and parents and students come out of the front door and meet, you know, our staff, you know, in the yard or wherever. And we're able to really check in on our kids and make sure that they're social, emotionally, and physically well.
Well, I don't even know what to say. This is phenomenal. If I could go back and be a kid again, I want to go to your school. I'm telling you, this is unbelievable.
Thanks, Michael.
What you're doing, Dr. Monroe, is extraordinary. And, you know, what I'm really curious about is, what have you found all these great things that you're doing, that how you're helping your kids in various ways with their mental health, with the SEL skills, with their sense of empathy, compassion, and everything that you just listed, which is amazing. What do you feel is working the best? And what have you found to be, I guess the question is, what's working and what's not?
Well, I'm going to tell you, what's working is the level of relationships that have been created between teachers and families. You know, COVID in a way has forced us to connect with families in ways that we never connected with them before. I mean, if you can imagine a kindergarten child sitting at home on a Chromebook, if you will, we now, or our teachers now, are really looking into the home every day of the students and families that they serve. And those families are looking right back at us. And there are times where either before class, during class, after class, a family or a teacher may stay on, or a parent may stay on and have a dialogue or have a conversation with the teacher, like, well, you know what? You know, our internet access in this part of the county is a little shaky. So, you know, if the internet goes out, or if my child disappears, I just want you to know that. And what that has allowed us to do is, we have like Wi-Fis now at our local Food Lions, and we have mobile Wi-Fis now that we have put on trailer carts within our community, because, again, you know, we want to level that playing field and make sure that people have equitable access to actual teaching and learning. So, you know, teachers who may not have ever called the home are like communicating with parents, if not daily, weekly now. So just the quality and the heightened level of relationships with families is something that has really been working.
That's
one of the things.
Extraordinary. No, it's amazing. Yeah. So you've used COVID to actually strengthen the community and the families. Like you said, you didn't just get through it. You used it.
Right. But I will tell you, one of the things that isn't working all the time is the lack of broadband. Again, I know, you know, this is nationwide, but, you know, in Virginia, some of the rural communities here do not have internet access no matter what. So, you know, looking at Caroline County Public Schools, you know, a lot of people know us for two things. The Lovings, you know, the movie, The Lovings are from Caroline. You know, the interracial couple, they did a Hollywood movie here. They actually filmed that in Caroline County. And the other thing that Caroline is known for is Secretariat, the greatest racehorse ever, right here at Meadow Farms. So, you know, those two things are right here in Caroline. But the one thing we don't have is broadband. Throughout our full community, we have about 68% of our families have internet access. So, you know, the rest really do not. So, again, parents have to sometimes drive to school. You know, they have to drive to the parking lot of their school to get internet access.
Well, that's
crazy.
40%, right? 60% of
yeah,
kids
yeah,
have internet,
to about,
40%
yeah, it's close
don't?
To, but it's more like a 70-30 split, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I got it. That's a big gap. But it's great that you provide that, where they can at least drive to school to get internet, or you have the mobile.
Yeah, right. We have the mobile hubs in the communities, exactly.
That's amazing. That's incredible. And now, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you know, if you'd like to see more of something at either your district, which it sounds like you guys have everything, which is extraordinary.
But nah, we don't have everything.
If we could do the magic wand together, and if you could wave this magic wand and you could see more of whatever you want at your school district or at other school districts, so students can get all the support they need, what would that be that you'd like to see more of?
Well, I would love to see more of mental health persons I don't feel, I know the research is out there, but since COVID, I don't know the statistics to the percentage, but I do know that COVID may be one of the variables that has increased the level of depression and mental illness, not only in students, but also in adults. So I would love to see more highly trained mental health professionals be a part of schools and be a part of school communities, because I know that, you know, not only our students need it, not only our parents and families need it, but also teachers need it. I mean, even though I've seen teachers, you know, bend but not break, but I worry about the mental, physical, and psychological wellness of our teachers and our leaders, because, you know, when you're in a situation like a pandemic, you know, none of us went to COVID-19 school, right?
Right.
I mean, none of us had that course in college. So, you know, I think a lot of us, including myself, we are kind of building the plane as we're flying it, if you will, and not knowing or not being able to really judge how you're doing can create a sense of angst and anxiety or whatnot, at least in myself. So you just pray that you're doing well and you're doing your best, but that can wear on folks. And, you know, if folks already have a little something going on and then you throw all of this stuff on top of it, you know, I just worry about the mental wellness of all of our educators, teachers, families, and, you know, those involved. So I would love it if we had more mental health professionals trained to just, you know, make sure that everyone is okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's what I've dedicated my life to do as a mental health advocate. Yeah. I mean, I was studied psychology, wanted to be a psychologist. God had a different plan for me, and my music career took off. And then God came back in and said, hey, we're going to couple that music with your psychology background. And most importantly, my background of struggling with anxiety and with depression as a kid in second grade and not understanding it. And the percentages, like you mentioned earlier, I've done some research on that, and the Child Mind Institute and Psychology Today and the World Health Organization and many other reputable sources pre-COVID were saying 60 to 70% of kids K through 12 are struggling with severe anxiety and depression. And they just don't talk about it because there's a level of shame involved. There's a level of uncertainty, unknowing. They're not sure what's happening. And and with COVID, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I think it's safe to guess that it's increased considerably, their anxiety and depression. So that's why I feel so blessed that we have this program and created this Born to Shine program to help students have a clear path, and their staff, like you mentioned, the students are struggling, the staff is going through a lot, and the parents. So yeah, it's just a blessing to have this course available, and so I'm just so grateful that you are so mindful and so aware that this is a need for students and staff and the parents. So it's just really refreshing to hear that from someone in your position as an assistant superintendent that's really embracing that. So thank you for saying what you just said.
Well, thank you, Michael. And, you know, if you don't mind, I would like to touch on what you just shared about the anxiety. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, because I do public speaking and I do professional development, and I, you know, try to give motivational messages through my different, you know, social media platforms, but I was a severe stutterer, you know, in elementary, middle school, and it would flare up again in high school when I became anxious about a situation, even as an adult at times. And, you know, I just want to encourage everyone that the way to address something in your life is to not run away from it, but to find ways to run through it. I know when I was a stutterer, you know, my speech language pathology teacher used to give me homework, because I used to love to ride dirt bikes when I was little. And I used to have to call the Huffy shop and the Rampart shop and all those different shops around Richmond and ask, what time do you open? What time do you close? How much is a Huffy whatever cost, you know, whatever. And I used to hate it. And I used to have to record it into the old cassette tapes. I know a lot of people, a lot of kids don't even probably know what a cassette tape is right now. But, you know, continuing to work through my area of opportunity is what I call it, you know, made me better. And the more I faced it, you know, the better I became at overcoming it. So again, man, you know, with that anxiety and the depression, I just encourage everyone to just, you know, it's always too soon to quit. You know, I always say, never say can't, say not yet, but soon with perfect practice. Because, you know, as my speech teacher, as she told me, she said, Herbie, if you have something important enough to say, you will find a way to get it out. And that's kind of how I live, man.
Amen to that. That's beautiful. So glad you mentioned that. That's that. And it reminds me of a great quote that fear is the only thing in the world that gets smaller when you run towards it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm going to write, look, I'm going to use that one, man.
Use it. Yes.
Consider it stolen.
Yeah, steal
borrowed.
It.
I'm going to just say borrowed.
Yeah,
borrowed.
Steal, borrow, take it. It's fear is the only thing in the world that gets smaller when you run towards it. And I had so many fears growing up as a kid and the same thing. And I love your story with the Huffy and how you were struggling with the speech impediment and how your speech therapist helped you with that. And you were just running towards it, man. You were running towards it and you didn't run away. And that's so powerful because I had a fear of heights. I was terrified to even, you know, stand up on a chair or a table. I thought, ooh, this right. is a couple feet, that no way. And but I wanted to dive. I saw all these kids jumping off the diving board, right? In Chicago, right? It's 95 degrees. It's hot in the summer. And so you got to jump in the water or you melt.
Got to jump in the water, man.
Got to jump in the water. It. Yeah. And so all these kids were jumping, the older kids, right? I don't even know, 4 or 5 years old. So the 6, 7 year olds, I thought, wow, they're so cool. They're jumping off that high dive. Look at them go. They're flying. So I climbed up the board and I started shaking. I mean, my whole body literally started shaking and I started getting dizzy and my breathing got quicker and I thought I was going to pass out. And my best friend, Ricky Weber, said, Michael, you can do it. And I said, I can't. And he said, you can do it. I said, I can't. And he said, just count backwards. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and go. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I jumped and I couldn't believe
awesome.
It. I mean, it was a total,
awesome,
you know, belly flop. I came up crying. My whole body was red. But Ricky said, man, you did it. And then I thought, well, why did this happen? And then maybe 20 years later, there's neuroscience behind it. I learned that Ricky, he didn't know this. I didn't know it. But there's science to back it up. Our brains, when we count in reverse, and this is for our listeners too, if you're afraid of anything, when you count backwards, it activates our prefrontal cortex, which just is a fancy schmancy way of saying the front part of our brain. And when that's activated, whatever we tell ourselves to do, we'll do it. So it's a quick little trick to get through fears. Because if we say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I want to raise my hand in class, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I want to say hi to this new person in school, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think the girl's cute, the guy's cute, whatever. And then we talk ourselves out of it. That's because we're overthinking. But counting in reverse, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm so excited to talk to this new person in class. Boom. Hey, my name is Herb. What's yours? So anyway, just a quick little, you shared a tip. I wanted to share one too.
What, Michael? I got to pull my notebook out now because I said I'm a lifelong learner. So that's going in the notebook as well as the quote. So
well, I'm learning a lot from you too. This is great because like one of your phrases that blew me away, and you have tons of cool phrases, by the way, Dr. Monroe, love them. But turn the underdog into the top dog. Come on.
Yeah, man, we got to turn the underdog into the top dog. And really where that came from is, I was a black boy with an IEP. However, both of my parents were educated. I come from a middle-class family. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I look at our social pandemic, our social justice pandemic, you know, our political pandemic, our health pandemic. And I'm thinking, if I struggled as much as I did with two parents with master degrees, and both of my parents were principals, by the way, so I was doomed from the start, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then my parents used to say stuff like, boy, if you don't get yourself straight, you know, we work for these people. You need to stop embarrassing us. You know what I mean? it was just a lot. But I just say that to say, I just wonder how folks who look like me, who didn't have the resources that I had growing up, I wonder how they make it. And then I know when we talk about social and emotional learning, one of the big words is resilience, man. Mm. And these kids are so resilient. And, you know, they're just amazing. And, you know, one thing that I've heard recently, you know, we just had our leadership retreat here in Caroline, is that people actually do better when they have less. And there was some research behind that as well, where people, you know, actually do better to have less. And the first thing I thought about was Jamaica. My wife and I have gone on vacation in Jamaica. And, you know, you might have people living in huts, but they're the happiest people I've ever met, you know, in all of my travels, man. I've traveled around the world. And, you know, it's amazing the spirit, the resilience, the positivity of like a lot of the Jamaican folks that I've met, you know, who don't really have electricity, you know, but it's just amazing, man, their sense of, as we say, man, their sense of, you know, pride and happiness.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's just the way that we were created, you know, to have that fighter spirit, that regardless of what we have or don't have, that we're always striving to rise. So yep. I think that's, yeah, it's, that's so true. And you know, another cool saying, if I can throw it in, it's
sure.
from your father. I watched that video of yours on your dad, and he was saying that he wanted, when you kept the coins that yes. from him, and then you said, and please help me if I'm getting this correct or incorrect, but I thought you said the thing that was so beautiful is you said that your father, after that experience, said he wanted to become a teacher to teach kids to turn to each other and not on each other.
We need to turn to each other, not on each other. Yeah, you know, my dad, you know, just for the folks that may not have seen the video, or if they want to after, you know, this podcast, you know, they can go to the website. But, you know, when my dad got arrested for going into a restaurant for white people only, you know, he did not burn down the town once he got out of South Carolina State Prison. But the power of the coins is so that, you know, I could remember where we come from and not to ever take education or freedom or justice for granted. And when my dad got out of prison, he said he wanted to become an elementary school teacher because, again, you're right. He wanted to teach kids that if we can love each other, if we can respect each other, regardless of what we look like, then his children hopefully won't have to ever suffer what he suffered in Florence, South Carolina. Wow. And then he always talked about the power of, you know, we have to turn to each other and not on each other, you know, just for the betterment of humanity. So, yeah, man, that's real stuff.
Can I borrow that from your...
You got it. You
got
it.
That is such a profound statement. I mean, wow, your father, incredible. That's so beautiful. And actually what he did to change the life for his kids. I mean, incredible. What a cool dad. That's
thanks.
Amazing.
Thanks. And it's amazing too, you know, as a former elementary and high school principal. Man, my dad never missed a baseball game, never missed a wrestling match, never missed a football game. You know, so I'm like, man, I don't know how he did it. But,
yeah. You know, isn't that funny? The older amazing. We get, and then our parents become even wiser and more amazing.
Isn't I know it's
truth?
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it is.
We even turned it to our parents a little, right? I think we talked about that.
Yeah. Right? Now, what the last question would be, what advice would you have for other school districts to better support their students with their mental health so their students and staff and parents can really fully thrive? What advice would you have for other school districts?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would share that you have to build relationships. You know, you have to, as we say, get hip to hip with folks and really build authentic, meaningful relationships. Everything starts with relationships, because if you don't have relationships, you don't have trust. And if you don't have trust, you're not going to get anything done. So I would definitely say start with relationships. The other thing that I would say is, if you're in education, the last folks we normally talk to are the students. So I would encourage folks to give students voice. Ask the kids, how can we help you? What do you need? Do you feel heard? Do you feel seen? If not, what are some ways that we can improve our practice so that you can be successful in school and in life? So I would definitely tell the adults, don't forget to talk to the people that you're serving. And really the third thing is I would say, make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because you have to be well, both psychologically, physically, and emotionally, in order to pour the right things into those you serve. If you're broken, or if you're tainted, or if you're poisoned, how can you pour goodness into somebody else if you're not right? So, you know, those would be the three major rocks that I would give, you know, educators or school divisions. Make sure you're good. Make sure, you know, your social, emotional, physical wellness is in place. You know, make sure you give those students voice and choice, and then make sure I forgot my third one.
Oh, the third.
Relationships. I'm sorry. No, make sure that you're building those authentic relationships, because without relationships, you can't have trust. And without trust, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Beyond amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Herb Monroe. Thank you so much, Dr. Monroe, for being a part of our podcast today and just sharing your wisdom, your experience, and your heart. And your father's story, and just everything. Thank you for being you. Thank you for doing what you do. And thanks so much for making some time for us today.
Well, Michael, I appreciate it. And if any of your listeners would like to learn or find out more, or just connect with me, I really would encourage everyone to visit my website. It's awordfromdoc.com. awordfromdoc.com. Thanks, man.
A word from Doc. Absolutely.
Yep. A word from Doc.com. Yep.
Dr. Monroe, thank you so much.
All right, Michael. Thank you, man.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. I'm Mike Sullivan. And until next time, remember, you were born to shine.